Hiya, pals, and welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Main Street, and we are live on all of your favorite podcast listening apps like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and, of course, our main platform, Anchor. Wolfpack, thank you so much for joining us this week. I want to apologize for being a little inconsistent. I just recently received a promotion at work, and the podcast took a hit because of it. So we're getting back to the roots here, getting back in our lane, and we just got a new microphone, so hopefully this is sounding really good for everybody. But we are, I am excited to be bringing in Jen, my wife, again for sort of a trip recap. So we recently went to Disney, and this is our opportunity to talk a little bit about our experience. So I went from, let's see, Saturday till Tuesday, and then Jen was there from Saturday to Sunday. She was able to meet up with a few friends along the way, so we're excited to sort of share those details and talk a little bit about our trip. So first and foremost, Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you.
And let's see, we planned this trip a while ago. We actually worked with Lori through Enchanting Escapes by Lori. And she actually sent us a nice little packet before we left. That was kind of nice of her to do, and included some things that we weren't aware of about Epcot and things like that. So yeah. Overall, pretty good experience working with her.
Absolutely. And she checked in, made sure that we made it okay and everything was what we expected. So
absolutely. So we actually, we didn't use our DVC points on this particular trip. We stayed at Pop Century. But I think What I'm maybe want to start with is when we left the house, we went to the airport, we flew out of Boston. For the most part, everything went pretty smoothly, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, everything was pretty smooth. We had one unruly passenger on our flight.
Oh, that's right.
So we were delayed for a little while, but overall, everything was smooth.
Yeah. We did. I almost forgot about that we had an unruly passenger on our way down. It kept us up for about an hour, or about a half hour at least.
It did.
So, overall though, good flight. We always fly JetBlue. They're usually always, you know, very efficient on time and quick to get us in and out of the airport in a timely fashion. So, overall that was, you know, as good of experience as you can hope for. I mean, they did a great job of ensuring that we were safe and getting the other passenger off the plane as quickly as possible. So, but I think we could just sort of tell the moment that the door didn't close and something was going on, it certainly made for an interesting experience. I think that's the first time it's ever happened to us.
Yeah, it was the first time it's ever happened to us.
So, we got to Orlando. We rented a car from Alamo like we normally do. And once again, pretty seamless transaction there. We checked in online, able to walk right up and get everything done. So I can't say enough about Alamo. I use them every time that we go. It's a little bit more expensive, but well worth the money to. I mean, when we got to the airport, if you look down the lane of different companies to choose from, there was a line. I mean, it was like a line waiting to go on to into the Magic Kingdom. It was so long, and I was really glad to just check in online and be done with that process. So we stayed at Pop Century. Like we said, we stayed at the 60s building. Now, we've never stayed in that particular building before, and I can't say that we normally track which building we stay in, right?
Nope. So this time we were booked for a preferred room. Because we were only going to have the car for the time that you stayed, so that we were going to be closer to the skyline and the buses, as well as the food court area. So I would say that the 60s building, for anyone that's planning a trip there, is probably one of the perfect locations, because you walk out, you're right in the middle of wherever you need to go. Skyliner's one way, the buses the other way, and then you're right at the pool. So really right in the middle of everything in the resort.
Yeah. You know, a couple things that I would say also is when we arrived, we checked in online. We were able to go right to our room. I definitely got the feeling sort of right away when we got there that the mask policy was a little bit more relaxed than before. It certainly seemed as though people weren't wearing their mask as much as they were when we went a few months ago. And it certainly seemed as though masks were on their way out almost when we first got there. We had actually went into the, not the food court. We went to the food court area, but we stopped in the gift shop area and we were looking for masks. And they really didn't have as big of a selection as they have had in the past. And I think it was then that we sort of said, ooh, you know, like, where are the extra large masks? Where are the, you know, the wide variety that we have seen in the past? And it was very interesting. So I think in that moment, when we first arrived, we had sort of said like, oh, maybe there's a transition happening here. Maybe there's something behind the scenes happening because these masks seem to be disappearing. And where are they? Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. But obviously now masks are off. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. But one of the first things that we did was we mobile ordered some food. Now, are you a fan of the mobile ordering process?
I think the mobile ordering process makes it a lot easier, especially at the value resorts, because before you'd have to wait in line for whatever you chose to eat, whatever little bay you went to, and then you had to wait in line to pay. Now you just select what you want, and you pick it up when it's ready. The downside to the mobile ordering is in the parks. I know the last few times that we went, we haven't been able to go to Woody's Lunchbox because mm-hmm. at lunchtime, they're completely full for the day. Mm-hmm. So if you want to eat lunch, you need to order that at 9 o'clock in the morning to get a 1 o'clock return time. So downside to that there. But I think it's a split 50-50 for that mobile ordering. Because it does save a lot of time, and in the parks, they are doing a good job as far as saving the seats for people that are using mobile ordering inside places, so that when you are ordering food and you are picking up food, you're actually able to sit down and eat your food as opposed to people just sitting there that didn't get anything. So definitely one of those hit or miss type things, depending on where you wanted to eat.
Sure. I think the other thing that would make mobile ordering difficult is, and I think you mentioned it too, is if you're going with a larger group of friends, you know, if one person is sort of manning the app or sort of taking control of it, it can be really difficult for those people to sort of separate different variations of payment. So if you're with three other people, you all order one thing on one app, you know, you're all sort of like, all right, well, who's going to pay for this one? Or how is this one being paid for? Or can you Venmo me? Or, you know, and that sort of does become a little bit of a hassle, especially if you're all trying to order the same thing and just trying to, you know, work cohesively as a group. So one thing that we've continued to try to do here on this show is provide, you know, financial insights, and one thing to sort of be prepared for is have a secondary type of form of payment to pay the person that you're with, so that way you can sort of square up with that person that you're on vacation with. I think that's really important. So the other downside to sort of where we stayed was at one point, and you are not a pool person. I have always sort of known that. I get that. For me, a part of a vacation is getting into the pool, relaxing for a little while, and just being able to enjoy sort of that luxury of getting in the water and just, you know, being cooled off a little bit. But I know how much you dislike it, so we often avoid it altogether. But time allowed, you know, we're people who run around the parks. We have a lot of fun in the parks. That's the primary reason why we go there for a vacation, is to get into the parks, go onto the rides, take in those experiences. And pool becomes a secondary conversation, a secondary activity. So time allowed for a pool opportunity for me, at least. And when I went down to the pool, it was closed and they were fishing out None other than some poop. So, you know, one thing that I can suggest is if you are a pool person like I am, you know, get there earlier in the day. That way you're not dealing with everybody else who's in there. Don't try to head in there towards the middle of the day. I think you get a lot more accomplished when you accomplish things in the morning. However, like I said, for us, it's so much more fun. It's so much more our vacation type to get up in the morning early and just head right over to the parks. So that's my piece of advice for those of you that like to go over to the pool. I did want to talk a little bit about the bus system. Obviously, right when we were there, and obviously I don't know, and you can speak maybe a little bit more to this, but when we were there, everything was still separated. You had to, when you get on the bus, he gave you a number to go sit in that specific section. What did you think of that? And does that hinder your experience at all? I mean, we really don't take the bus at all. We usually take the rental car, but the one place that we've continued to take the bus is to Magic Kingdom to avoid, you know, the ticket and transport center, having to make the decision between the monorail and the ferry boat. So what did you think of the bus system?
I think it was nice not having people sitting in your lap, essentially taking the bus. And then after you left, I had no other choice but to take the bus. But Disney's doing a great job right now with the bus system. They do have a lot of, I want to say Mears buses, but not necessarily Mears buses.
They're more of like a
coach bus.
Coach bus, yeah.
Running back and forth. What I will say is Pop Century right now is probably the worst still for transportation on the Disney property. When I was there, I did have the unfortunate event of the Skyliner being down because of weather. So I did have to take a lot more buses than I probably planned on.
Mm-hmm.
But they are doing their best with running those coach buses in place of Disney transportation whenever possible. And they were, at the time, like you said, telling you sit in row 3 on the coach bus, mm-hmm. or, you know, sit in section 2. So I don't know how that's changed in the last few weeks, especially with the social distancing kind of being a little bit more laxed. But they are definitely getting those buses back up and running. And I think with those separations, it kind of prevents those families of, you know, 4 and 5 from letting their kids go sit by themselves in the back while, you know, the parents sit in the front. It kind of keeps the parties more together and allows more people. Even though there's not that standing, it is allowing more people on the buses than originally.
Hmm. Yeah, I sort of liked the idea, and I settled this when they first came out with the Skyliner. I really liked the idea of keeping families together and not necessarily putting them next to, you know, another group or another grouping or another family. I think that's something that in the future Disney should look at and continue to keep going forward. So hopefully they do, but, you know, obviously it's all about efficiency at this place, and making sure that people are coming in and out in a timely manner is going to be really important to them. But it's certainly something to keep in mind that things are changing. We haven't been, we haven't been more recently since more social distancing and masks have come off, but it's certainly something to bear in mind going forward. So we do rent a car, and one thing that we've been pretty traditional in doing is we do make a stop at Walmart. We always try to get over to the one that's it's relative to Animal Kingdom. It's about a 7 to 10 minute drive from Animal Kingdom. We usually get over there and we grab a few bottles of water. We'll grab, you know, we're monster drinkers, so we'll get a couple, like a box of Monsters. We try to just grab a few necessity things that, you know, are going to either be very expensive in the parks, or they're $3 to $4 at the gas station. And I will say that Speedy gas station right outside of Hollywood Studios has become probably one of our best friends.
And the nicest people work there.
Yeah.
Like, I have to say, both Speedies have the nicest people.
Absolutely. So, and I think for us, just to stop in there, especially when we first arrive, and just grab a couple waters, you know, maybe a little snack or just something to sort of appease us for a little while before we can either get into the parks or get into our room or whatever it is. That's an awesome place to just stop and rest for a moment once you've made it onto the resort. So I think we got there on Saturday and I was blocked out. I wasn't able to go to the parks that day. So we ended up spending a lot of time down at Disney Springs. Was there anything about Disney Springs this time around that stuck out to you?
I think between this trip and last trip that we went in February, Disney Springs probably wasn't quite as busy as it was when we were there in February, which surprised me just because there was definitely a lot more people. I did go to Disney Springs other than what we'll talk about next, but I did go to Disney Springs also with my parents a little bit later in the trip too, during the day, and definitely wasn't as busy either. But I did find that first day that we went, the line to go into World of Disney was crazy. And like you said, when we were looking for masks, I didn't find that they really had a lot of merchandise that I
needed or wanted. You're right.
And I am one that can always find something
right
that I want. So I don't know if right now Disney's in between,
like a restock or a season maybe. But yeah,
there wasn't anything that I really needed. You know, there was a girl that I worked with that, you know, wanted a few things, but nothing that I can say that I really wanted. And for me, that's not normal.
Yeah, no. No, we definitely didn't spend as much money on merchandise this time around. I think that was, I mean, that was clear usually within the first 2 days. We've at least both bought, you know, either you've bought a few things that you really want, or we both bought something that we kind of just look at and say, oh, that's really nice. But we really didn't do a lot of spending on this particular trip. I mean, I would say we spent a little bit on dinner and things of that nature. But in terms of merchandise, I mean, normally we always come home with something. So it was a little bit odd. It did seem as though like their merchandise was all stuff that had been there before that we had already seen. Mm-hmm. And again, it was really strange to not find a big wide variety of masks in Disney Springs, because we said to ourselves, oh, well, if they don't have them at our resort, obviously the World of Disney down at Disney Springs will have plenty of options for us to choose from. So that really was an odd.
And really the reason we were looking for them was the 3 days you were there was 110 degrees with humidity. So you don't really want to wear the same mask all day.
Yeah.
Definitely
not. So one of the highlights, I think, of our trip was we once again got to hang out with our friends, John and Kathy.
Yes.
They're down in Florida. They do the Started with the Mouse podcast. They've become really good friends of not only the shows, but of ours in general. And it was awesome. They were able to come out and do dinner with us. And I do remember, so we were, you know, sort of texting back and forth with them on what time we were going to meet. John was able to make the reservation for Chef Art's homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
He said, both John and Kathy have said that this is the one place that they tell everybody they've got to at least try at Disney Springs. They spoke really, really highly of it. And before we met up with them, we were in sort of that weird debacle where you are looking at a bench and there's also like two or three other people that are looking at an empty bench, and you make that leap and you go ahead and you sit down, and that other couple on the other side is like, oh darn, I should have moved a little bit faster. But we ended up making, or at least I did, I don't know that you did, but I ended up making a couple friends. They had just come in from Georgia, I believe. They were celebrating an anniversary. They had dropped off the kids at her mom's house, and we're just enjoying the evening. They also had reservations over at Chef Art Smith's. Stuff like that. I mean, I always talk about, you know, the interactions that you can have with cast members and the interactions that you can have with, you know, the people at your resort or whatever the case may be. But don't be afraid to interact with those people. And we have another couple that we actually met at Be Our Guest that we'll talk a little bit about too. But don't be afraid to interact with the people that you just happen to encounter and have a conversation with them. And I mean, they're in the happiest place in the world, so just go ahead and talk. But Chef Art Smith's, this is where we went for dinner that night. What was your take? Did you enjoy the meal?
Yes.
Do you remember what you got?
I got the chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. Yep. So I actually did make reservations to go again in July.
Yeah, the meal itself was really good. I think the overall experience, we had an awesome waiter. He was really attentive. He actually brought me over a sample of one of the drinks before I decided to pull the trigger and get it. He told us about some of the
secret drinks,
which were like stuff that the employees have actually created based off of the different moonshines that they have. So it was an awesome experience. The food was phenomenal. I think I just got like the regular chicken
and the mac and cheese with donuts.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, it was so good. The donuts were like a little, they were like a little dessert at the end. It was a delicious meal. The mac and cheese was phenomenal. And it really hit home. They also, John and Kathy ordered the appetizer. They ordered the little,
I want to call them hush puppies.
I think they do call them hush puppies down there. So they ordered some hush puppies, which had like a raspberry jam, I think. It was just overall a really, really good meal, really good experience. And definitely, like you said, you're going again in July. It's definitely an experience that I would do again.
Absolutely. And I think that Candy is going to enjoy it. And we're hopefully meeting our friend Jess there as well. So
yeah,
I think it'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely if you're thinking about a place to go to eat down at the Disney Springs, then Chef Art Smith's is an awesome, awesome place. They have some great chicken selections, great drink selections, and the wait staff was phenomenal. So definitely something worth considering if you're looking for that next reservation or something to do. We also were able to walk around. Now, again, I'll just say that we're very different in the fact that I could go to a place like the Boathouse where our friend Piano Rob was. I could go and sit there for the remainder of the evening and I could listen to him play on the piano. I could have a drink or two and be in a world of delight, whereas you're ready to go after a few minutes. So we were able to, at the very least, and the Boathouse was absolutely packed. So there was nowhere that we were going to be able to sit, even if we could. But we were able to, you know, share a wave with Piano Rob. So that was a really cool moment for me to see someone that I've been able to interact with through this medium and hear a couple of his songs and then move on. We actually went that night. We went over to Peaches and Cream for dinner. You were able to score sort of a last minute reservation ticket over there.
And just so everybody knows, we did not eat at Chef Art's and Peaches and Cream's all in the same night.
No, they're two separate nights. I'm sort of just intertwining everything and talking about the general. Like I said, we spent a lot more time over at Disney Springs than we have in the past.
Yes.
So we were at least able to walk over there and say hello and then be on our way. But to talk a little bit about some of the meals that we had, obviously Beaches and Creams is one of them. I don't really know that we weren't starving that evening. Like we had kind of snacked earlier in the day. And I think I just got an ice cream. I got the No Way Jose, which I really enjoy. And I think you got, was it some fried pickles or?
I got their tater tots and chili.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
They're more of like a, for anyone who hasn't been, they're more of like a diner. So they're diner food, really laid back, more of the 50s style. And it's something, again, you need to try at least once.
Yeah.
And they're more of a place that you want to go later at night. Because right now with COVID, and again, I don't know what's changed in the last week or so, you can't get ice cream at their walk-up window.
Mm-hmm.
So getting that reservation for, say, I think ours was maybe at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was late.
Getting that reservation for 10 o'clock at night, you can at least get an ice cream or, you know, something small,
right.
And just have that relaxing,
almost a late night snack, yep. In a sense.
And you were able to kind of sneak into the pool that you weren't supposed to be at. So you did get to use the pool.
I did. I snuck into the beach club pool and I at least put my feet in. So I did get a little bit of pool time. And again, it's just one of those things. You've got to find opportunities to do things like that when you can. So normally there's usually someone at the gate asking you to scan your magic band. And when I noticed that there no one was, I opened the door and put my feet in. And I sort of just said, what are they going to do at this point? Tell me to not do that again. I mean, it was almost 10:30 at night. I thought that I was going to be pretty okay. So we also had dinner over at Magic Kingdom. We had dinner at Be Our Guest, which mm-hmm. is one of our favorites. I do want to give just a little bit of a shout out to Mario and Daisy, who we met. We want to share congratulations to you on your engagement. So Mario and Daisy were actually sitting to the right of us, and I first and foremost said congratulations to them. They had their hats on, so it was his groom hat and her bride hat on with the ears, and I just said, oh, congratulations, and they just sort of, you know, started sputtering and giving us more information that they had just got engaged yesterday here in the parks, and they were very, very excited. But they were kind enough, and I offered to give them, you know, some photos because they were trying to take photos, and you know how awkward that can sort of be sometimes when you're just trying to take a photo of yourselves and it's a selfie and it just doesn't look right. So we exchanged photos and some pleasantries, and just wish them a congratulations. So again, Mario, Daisy, I believe you said you're out in California. So it was really nice meeting you guys. Hopefully you're hearing this. You did ask it what the show was, and hopefully you're hearing this. Daisy, Mario, it was lovely meeting you, and congratulations again on the engagement. So we had a really good meal there once again. The French mm-hmm. onion soup is one of our favorites. I think I got the steak.
We both got the steak, and we found out that you don't have to get the vegetables.
Oh, that's right.
You can get the mac and cheese from the kids' meal.
Yes,
so
that's right.
Anyone who does not like vegetables, aka asparagus, you can get the mac and cheese instead.
Yeah, and the waiter was actually really funny. He's like, that's exactly how I've been ordering mine forever. Yep. So yeah, you can do that. It was a nice little surprise.
And he was very much into Star Wars.
Yeah, he was.
He was awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool.
Yep.
But overall, just a really good experience there. Mm-hmm. Like usual. Cool to see the Beast walking around. We were in that main, ballroom, which is a really beautiful room. So
it's been a while since we've been in there. We're normally in one of the side rooms.
Yeah. So that's nice. And then we also had our first experience over at the Grand Floridian.
Yes, so it's been the first time we've been there. That was recommended by Candy and Vinny.
Yep.
One of their favorite places to go for breakfast, which worked out perfectly for us because we were going to the Magic Kingdom that day.
Yeah.
So sort of on our way over. But
Were you as wowed by the Grand Floridian as you thought you would be?
Personally, I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
I know people absolutely love the Grand Floridian and think it's the most beautiful place. I know growing up we used to, you know, take the monorail over and walk through, and you know, my mom is a big shopper. so that's probably where I get it from. So she used to love going to all of the resort shops as well. And walking through the DVC section of the Grand Floridian and then walking into the actual section where the cafe was, I wouldn't say it's, you know, something that's on my have-to-do list. Mm-hmm. I know they do have a beautiful pool.
Right.
But I really like staying more on the Epcot side. I do have to say the boardwalk is probably still one of my favorite. I do love Kidani.
Yeah.
Just the convenience factor. I am one of those people that do laundry on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Probably daily. But,
you're the only person I know that goes on vacation and does laundry.
At 5 a.m. I make friends in the laundry room. But, yeah, I don't know that the Grand Floridian was, maybe gave me that wow factor like it does to some people.
Yeah, and I think I sort of felt the same way. I didn't walk through there with any type of feeling of I have to be here. I'm so excited to be here. I just kind of went into it with an open mind. But, and I will say the grounds were beautiful. The building itself is beautiful. The artwork, the elegance that you sort of walk into is very, very, very beautiful. But it wasn't a place that I looked around and said, oh yeah, I've got to stay here on my next trip. It just didn't do it for me.
No.
And I don't know, maybe if the piano was playing when we walked through like that center portion of it, that would have been a little bit better. But it had like a big bird cage in there, and I just didn't understand that. It was very almost off-putting to me. It was a big cage.
Yeah,
it was very odd.
I think maybe when we go in November, experiencing it for Christmas,
yeah,
would give maybe a different feel for me, and a different appreciation for it, because I have never seen that hotel for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, not something that I have on my...
Yeah. And at this point, if I had to sort of choose between the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian, and having walked through the Grand Floridian and really only being to the Polynesian for our DVC tour, that's where we bought our DVC points,
mm-hmm.
I would probably prefer the Polynesian. So it was interesting. I definitely, the cafe itself was really good. I think I'd go there again for breakfast.
Absolutely.
And maybe even be adventurous enough to try it for lunch or come back for some evening for dinner. But it wasn't a place that just screamed to me like, ooh, I have to stay here. So interesting. Wanted to, you know, share that experience. And then sort of per usual, one of our go-to spots lately is Tepanito. And I can't say enough about this place. If this isn't a place that you go to on a regular basis, then you need to make it that way. The wait staff, the chef, the cook, everybody that comes at some point and hits your table makes that experience so much more fun, so much more rewarding. We did find out on this most recent trip that you can ask for more noodles. And I'm sure that was like probably something that always crossed my mind. But on this particular trip, I wanted this meal so badly that they could have put two plates in front of me and I would have eaten it. So I asked for a few more noodles, a few more vegetables, a few more everything. It was just, it's so overwhelmingly good there. So if you're not checking out Tepanito on a regular basis, you need to be. Were there any other spots during the remainder of your trip after I left on Tuesday that you want to talk about?
So I was fortunate enough to meet up with our friends Katie and Vinny and their kids,
Katrina and Jack,
and they were able to get us reservations for Oga's Cantina.
Oh, okay.
So that was fun. Mm-hmm. It was different.
Yeah.
It was...
Not really your scene.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Right.
So I didn't probably appreciate it as much as you would have.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun. we had a early morning reservation. I want to say it was maybe 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock somewhere, as mm-hmm. always.
There you go.
So,
yep.
But they had a lot of fun drinks. You know, kind of if anyone's ever gone to the Sugar Factory, drinks that, you know, bubble and fizz and, you know, things like that. They have ones with alcohol, without alcohol. They have drinks made of Jell-O. You know, really unique things. We also got their, you know, snack board, I guess you would say, which was interesting. It was more of a trying to figure out what everything was that was on there.
Yeah.
In just the atmosphere itself, it was, you know, everybody in there was having fun. They do give you a time. I think it was 45 minutes. Mm. So definitely not someplace that you go and
relax and take it all in. You got to be really quick and efficient.
You got to kind of pre-plan your menu and know what you want and be done.
So were there a lot of people in there, or was it sort of quiet so that way they could get you out of there pretty quickly?
So they had it set up, I think, a lot different than they did pre-COVID. So any parties that were, you know, 3 and over, sat in booths,
mm-hmm.
Or at the bar. Any of, you know, 2 people, 1 person parties, I'm sure there were some, were kind of in the center. They have like almost kind of like a bar type stool.
Like a table, like a bar table. Okay.
So they did have you kind of spread out. They had you... nobody, kind of just mingling, sort of bar scene type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just really cool
atmosphere.
Cool atmosphere, yeah. The waitress really kept you on your time.
Right.
As soon as you sat down, they gave you your menu, or they had you scan your QR code. Gave you about 5 minutes to look it over, came back, asked if you had any questions. I mean,
got you in and out.
Absolutely. Yeah. But definitely an experience. And it actually worked out perfect, because that day our boarding group, I think Candy actually got our boarding group, was maybe number 42.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to do all of Star Wars, and we were done over there by like 11 o'clock.
Nice.
So that was one experience. The same day, I actually was able to have lunch with them, or dinner, I'm sorry, with them at the Brown Derby.
Nice. Now that's a place that we've probably looked at and we've talked about going to. It has a really nice sort of outdoor appeal to it. What would you say what were your expectations going in, and what were they coming out?
So, Vinny is a lot like me in the aspect of we like our French onion soup, mm-hmm. and a good steak. So kind of all day, that's what I heard, that they had it. They had a phenomenal steak, which he didn't end up ordering there. So, so the Brown Derby is actually, it's beautiful inside. They have what's called a bamboo room, where they do seat anybody that's famous that happens to be in the park that day.
That's cool.
Which Candy actually knew about. It's also where Club 33 is.
Nice.
I did happen to find that while we were waiting for the rain to pass. The menu itself, I guess, has changed a little bit since they've been there, I want to say in the fall. But still a decent meal.
Okay.
They were very COVID friendly, I would say, as far as there were a lot of tables still not seated.
Mm-hmm.
Very on time to your reservation, even if you checked in early.
Yeah.
But overall, still good.
Okay. Nice.
So definitely something that I'm glad that I was able to, you know, try.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we've looked at it and we've...
Well, I think for the most part, other than, you know, there's the 50s diner mm-hmm. that they have over in Hollywood Studios. They have Hollywood and Vine, which is a buffet-style meal. They have the Sci-Fi Diner. I mean, other than that, like for sit-down, which is normally what we do sit-down meals.
Yep.
They don't have a ton of options. Mm-mm. And, you know, unless, you know, we plan to go back to Epcot, which is normally where we're going to eat, you know, the Brown and Derby is one of those where we look at it and we're like, all right, well, it's a little bit more expensive than, you know, some of the other places that we normally try to get to. Is it worth that?
Right.
So certainly something to consider, especially since you had, you know, sort of a good meal, but I'm glad that you did that. Now Shelby came into town shortly thereafter. Were there any places that you went with Shelby?
So when Shelby came in, we also did Tabanito, which she's never been to. She loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of did the same thing that you normally do, the steak and chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a phenomenal, I want to call him a grill master, but yeah. I don't really know what they call him.
Yeah, chef, cook. Yeah.
He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Knew that she'd never been. So really put on a great show. We also went to Garden Grill. I have to say the last few times now that we've gone, we went with Dawn and Kathy.
Yep.
I went this time with Shelby, and I think that's probably the last times that we've gone now after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been impressed with the service that we've gotten.
Mm.
This past time with Shelby, we had maybe like a 6:30 or 7:30 reservation, so not something extremely late, but
right.
we all know the parks are closing earlier because of COVID.
Yeah.
Definitely not Disney service.
Right.
Which surprised me because we've always had nothing but superior service.
Right.
In restaurants at Disney. So that was a little bit disappointing. Shelby has experienced Garden Grill pre-COVID. But for breakfast. So this was her first time having dinner there. So a little bit disappointing with the server that we had. He kind of just dropped the food and then we never really saw him again until it was time for dessert.
Right.
So those are the places that we had sit down. She was only there for 2 full days. So those are the two meals that we did. We did more of the quick service for, you know, breakfast and snacks and such. When I went to Animal Kingdom with Candy and Vinny, we did do the corn
mm-hmm.
In front of the safari.
Yep.
Which is definitely a must, I would say, for everyone to try. That was very, very good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know that you're dying to get to the portion of our trip where we went to the parks. So obviously, getting over to Magic, let's talk a little bit about Magic Kingdom first. I think the big thing that stuck out to me was the return of the People Mover. Getting back on there for the first time in a long time was very exciting. The line itself really looked really long. And then we sort of had a moment, like an epiphany, where we realized it wasn't as long as it had, as we anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
But still a line to get onto the People Mover that was still easily 5 to 10 minutes to get on there. But the return of the People Mover, I was super excited to get back on there. They've done a whole lot of work over at the Tron roller coaster, which we know probably won't be around for another year or so. So certainly disappointing that the Tron coaster is going to be open over the course of the next year or so. But just to get back on the People Mover, to go by, you know, Tomorrowland Speedway, all those little things are really what encompass Disney for me. and getting there and being on vacation. So just really, really nice to get back over to Magic Kingdom and have the People Mover up and running and operating properly. What about you? Were there any things about Magic Kingdom throughout the course of your entire trip that were different or special or?
I think the day that we went, it was hot mm-hmm. and busy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I think we were able to do a few things, mm-hmm. But it was hot. Very, very hot the times that you were there. I had gone back to the Magic Kingdom with Shelby, later on in the week, and we got there prior to park opening. So I want to say park opened at maybe 8 o'clock, and we were in the park by, 10 past seven. And we had ridden probably everything in the park by 12:30. Just being able to, get in there before the technical park open, really, made it so that the lines are shorter. When you were there, I want to say even like Jungle Cruise was
about 45 minutes, I think.
At least. Pirates was like 70 minutes, which for those rides that only last
a few minutes,
it's a long wait. Mm-hmm. So
especially for us, because we've done them, so many times, and it's not to say that we don't enjoy them or don't want to continue to do them, but we just would rather utilize 10 minutes to get to the next attraction as opposed to 70 to wait for an attraction. I think, if that's just sort of how we look at things. Mm-hmm. And, sometimes we'll get through a few things that we know that we wanted to do, and we'll say, all right, well, we've got about a couple hours before we can park hop. Like, let's run over to the outlets. Let's maybe go get something for lunch outside of the resort. Like, at this point, we utilize our time as wisely as we can to, go do other things too that are important to us.
Right.
So, so let's talk a little bit about the Navi River journey over at Animal Kingdom. I wanted to bring this up because I think that we've maybe got a new appreciation for it a little bit, or at least Pandora in general, I think, is an area in which I've become a little bit more enamored with. It's got some really beautiful sights, and we've gone on the Navi River journey now the past couple of times, and mm-hmm. It's certainly not something that I want to wait a whole long time for, but I will say that it's a much more attractive and beautiful ride than I sort of gave it credit for towards the beginning of its, inception when we first went on it. It wasn't necessarily something that I like needed to get on. And now I would, if the rate was 20 minutes, I would probably get on there and take it for a ride. It's certainly different. And being people that didn't really, I think I watched more of it than you did, but Pandora was a movie that, I've watched, but it doesn't necessarily like hold this big special place for me that I need to watch it every time it's on. But the ride itself, I certainly could find a new appreciation for. What about you? I was disappointed. The one thing that we didn't do while we were there at Animal Kingdom was get over to the safari. I was a little disappointed we didn't do that, but we always take an Animal Kingdom, kind of quickly. It's not a park that we spend all day at. Mm-hmm. It's a couple attractions that we definitely want to do, and then we can scratch that one off the rest of our list. Like, we don't need to go back there again. But was there anything that stood out in particular for Animal Kingdom this time around?
I think, like you said, with the river journey, I went to Animal Kingdom 3 times when I was there, and all 3 times I did do that when, like you said, it's something that normally we would have just skipped.
Mm-hmm.
I also went to Animal Kingdom first thing in the morning one day, and again, the park probably opened at 9. We were in the park by 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we were able to ride Everest, I think, maybe 4 times without waiting, which was awesome.
Yep.
Candy gave up after twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But me and the kids rode 4 times.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't really spend a whole lot of time in Animal Kingdom because we typically do that as our hop to park.
Mm-hmm.
By that time, the lines are longer.
Right.
It's hot.
Yep.
It's that park that even once you're in the gate, you're still gotta walk.
Yeah.
Because it's just set up different.
Right. And I think the other thing too about Animal Kingdom is like you said, it's our hop park. Like we'll go there after 2 o'clock. So, and then usually for us, we make dinner plans. We try to make dinner plans around 6 or 7. So we'll go there for 2:30. We'll try to squeeze in as much as we can. And then normally we want to get back to the room for a little while. We want to change and then we want to go to dinner sort of refreshed, relaxed a little bit, cooled off. And, that's just the way that we do it. And I think that has Animal Kingdom, I don't know, has something there that we desperately need to go do. We both love Flight of Passage and want to do it, but we also know anytime we go, we could be waiting two hours for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily something that we're, you know, running to every single time that we go. And as much as we enjoy the attraction, what do you think keeps Animal Kingdom sort of in that category for us? Do you think it needs more attractions? Do you think that it's never going to be that particular park for us where we've got to spend more time there or what?
I think with Animal Kingdom, it's just that park that we go and we do those few things that we enjoy.
Right.
This trip was probably the first trip that we didn't do Dinosaur too.
Yeah.
Yep. When I was there both time, or when I was there with Candy and Vinny, the line was like an hour long.
Right.
And then when I went back with Shelby, it was down all day.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that we know what we enjoy. We go, we do that, and we leave.
Right.
The same thing with the safari. It's mm-hmm. the same lion, it's the same,
yeah.
the same elephants.
Right.
So we're not,
hustling over there.
We're not going to wait the hour and a half necessarily if that's how long the safari is,
right?
Because those animals are the same ones.
Yep. Let's talk about Epcot. Epcot, I still think with the construction that's going on, it's certainly, I wouldn't say it hinders the overall experience, but there's certain elements that are just sort of in the way. It definitely creates a little bit of a longer, you know, trek to get to certain areas of this park now. I still love Epcot for all that it offers, but I am excited for the moment when they say that the construction is completed. I do sit on the side of the fence where the barges really don't bother me. Before the new nighttime spectacular show that they're going to be doing over there, I don't think they're obviously in the middle of the lake. They're going to be to some a quote unquote eyesore, but mm-hmm. they don't bother me. I think that they look appealing. I think that they draw attention to themselves, which is, I think, what the intention of it was. But the one thing that sort of bothered me about our two different experiences at both Magic Kingdom and Epcot was when you walked by the Epcot Starbucks, there really wasn't anybody in line. But when you went to, whether it was Hollywood Studios or really the one that sticks out as Magic Kingdom, that line for Starbucks was around the corner. It was longer than anything that I could have imagined. Do you have any idea of as to why that is? It was just really odd to me.
I think with the Epcot Starbucks, no one knows where it is.
Yeah.
And at Epcot, there's so many of the Joffrey's I want to call them a kiosk.
Yeah.
Everywhere. There's one almost in every country you go to. They have a little setup with, I don't know how those donuts aren't melted and
stale or gross. Or yeah, me neither.
But you see so many more of those, and the Starbucks isn't where it
normally used is. To be. Right, right.
So people that are looking for Starbucks are looking in the middle of the construction and figure, oh, you know, it's closed, so we'll just go here that has coffee. And you already have a coffee. You're not going to throw away your $8 Joffrey's coffee you just bought to buy your $12 Starbucks coffee. So I think by the time people find the Starbucks, they already have
something else going. Yeah, that's good point.
That's the only thing I can think of, and I'm totally fine with it because...
Yeah. Well, it was just weird because when we got up to the Epcot Starbucks, no one was in line. We had to ask, like, are you open? do you serve, like, more than just coffee and drinks? And they had their regular food options. Like, I really love... They have a nice banana bread that I usually get, you know, just for a quick snack, but... It was just different because you go through Magic Kingdom and that line is up and around the corner and, you know, up towards the entrance almost. It's pretty crazy. So, all right. I know that you've been waiting to talk about this since we decided that you'd be on the podcast again, but let's talk about Hollywood Studios. Obviously, it being your birthday, I wanted to try to make you as happy as I possibly could. And I knew that a portion of that happiness would come from being able to bring me onto the Rock and Roller Coaster. So reluctantly as I could have, we went to Rock and Roller Coaster. Do you want to talk a little bit about the experience there?
I think you may never go on it again.
I did it. I would do it again to make you happy. But it was an experience, to say the least, this time around.
It was an experience with you, yes. From when you thought you lost your magic band.
Yep. There was a moment where the magic band, I was holding on as tightly as I could, and the magic band came off. And for about a total of probably 3 to 5 seconds, that's all that I was concerned about was my Darth Vader magic band. I couldn't find it. I couldn't see it. I thought that it was lost forever. And I was very upset about it. Very.
And then to the part when you lost your shoe getting out of the ride.
Correct. So we came to a complete stop, and all of a sudden I'm a little shaken. I'm a little like white knuckled, and I'm trying to get out and my shoe comes off. So the guy's got to like basically stop the entire process. He's got to, you know, I've got to basically like grab my shoe. I'm trying to put it on quickly so he can continue with his process of moving the cart along. But so I did it. I'm glad that I did it for you. It's just not necessarily a ride that is for me. I will do it again if I need to, or you know, to make you happy. But it's just not a ride for me. I do have to say that it was a thrilling attraction. I did try my damnedest to really open my eyes and take in some of the scenery and take in some of the, you know, the sounds, but it was hard. I was hooting and hollering through pretty much the entire thing. Mm-hmm. So there were also maybe a few curse words. So if the people behind me heard, because we were in the front row.
We were in the front row, yes.
Like, that was not what I was expecting. I was sort of hoping that we could be maybe in, like, the 8th or the 7th row, like we normally get for all the rides that I want to be in the front row. That's what we get. For the one ride that I didn't want to be on, we got the first row. Yeah. So overall, though, like, certainly an interesting experience. I will be curious when and if Aerosmith gets the boot, what will happen with that ride. I think that'll be really interesting. I think the Incredibles roller coaster, I think that could be something that would be really cool. There's just some other really neat options out there for this attraction that I'd be interested about for sure.
And with that ride, when I had gone with Shelby, we again got to the park prior to opening, and I think we rode that maybe 3 or 4 times with no line mm-hmm. And sat in all sections, so mm. front, back, and in the middle. So
nice. Hollywood Studios, were there any other things that sort of stuck out for you?
So I did Tower of Terror a few times. And I have to say it's different than what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just have been so afraid to ride it again. Because I don't like heights.
Yep.
But I remember it going up and going all the way down. And then going back up again. And the few times that I rode it this past trip, it didn't seem to go down all the way,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Hmm.
It kind of just did a few little drops.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, it went back down because we were able to get out. But just seemed a little bit different.
Hmm.
And the other thing is, you know, I did Hollywood Studios 3 times.
Yep.
And all 3 times we were lucky enough to get a boarding group.
Yeah.
And in a morning boarding group.
Yeah.
Which was nice. It was nice to be able to experience that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I did just want to have you talk a little bit about, so while you were down there, Shelby was with you. Disney announced that they were going to be relaxing their mask policy.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of allowed for, while you're outside and not a indoor gathering or on the attractions, you're able to no longer wear your masks. And I'm curious, from your standpoint, what was your impression of it? Were there still people wearing their masks? And was it as exciting for you as it was for a lot of the other people in the area?
So, that was the last day we were there. We did Magic Kingdom and Epcot that day. And it was different. You had to wear it on the buses. You had to wear it, like you said, in line, mm-hmm. and inside stores or attractions. There were people that were still wearing it,
mm-hmm.
But you almost felt like at first you were doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have your mask on.
Right.
But it was amazing. It was nice to be able to see people's faces, people smiling. It was nice.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be able to actually breathe.
Right.
In Florida humidity.
Yeah.
But you could tell that it was just people were happy.
Mm-hmm.
The cast members still had to wear theirs.
Yeah.
But it was just a feeling of normal.
Right.
But definitely you felt for a minute like you were doing something.
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Well,
like you forgot to put something on.
Right. And well, Massachusetts just recently lifted their mandates as well. So at work the other day, you know, anytime that I left sort of my little personal area and I, you know, went outside or went into the showroom, it was like, oh my God, where's my mask? I don't have it, but I feel like I should. So I do understand that feeling, but it was, you know, I just remember you saying that it was just really nice that, you know, to be able to breathe and not have the mask up on your nose and feel like it was sort of just weighing you down. So,
mm-hmm.
very cool. Obviously, now we know Universal is completely maskless. They're not mm-hmm. requiring masks anymore. And, you know, I think about when we started this podcast, masks weren't quite a thing, but they were on their way and was washing your hands and staying socially distanced and, you know, then big shutdowns and things of that nature. So we've certainly come a long way, and it's certainly awesome to see us come out of it on the right side of things for the most part. Obviously, a lot of loss, a lot of, you know, just tough times, but we're out of it. It seems to be good. So let's hopefully keep it up and we can keep everything going the right way. I wanted to play a little game. We haven't played games on this show in a long time. And I came up with a game of a wish we could have. So I thought it would be interesting to share with one another, some of the things that we wish we could have done, and whether that's food, a particular drink, ride, experience, anything that you wish we could have done while we were down there. You obviously were down there for a week, so some of the things that you did are things that are on my list of things that I wish I could have done. But obviously with my work schedule and just trying to fit everything in as quickly as possible, I don't always necessarily have the time to do all of those things. So I'll let you go first. What was one thing that you wish we could have done on our last trip in Disney?
Wish I could have done. I wish I could have gone to the egg roll cart.
Oh.
It's never open.
Okay.
I feel like ever.
Yep. This is the egg roll cart that you're talking about when we go to
Adventureland.
Yes. Okay. And I do just want to point out that I think the photographer that we had, was it Ethel?
Ethel, yes. Who was featured in the new name tag video.
She was our photographer while we were down there at one point. She was super, super nice. That was our only like real look at the egg roll cart. And I do remember Ethel. She was just a ball of energy and joy. She loved what she does. Mm-hmm. She took some awesome, awesome photos. And yeah, she was featured in the new name tag video. So if you have never had a photo taken by Ethel, you need to go find her in Magic Kingdom and take some photos with her. She was so much fun. I want to say she took like 8 or 9 photos more than she probably had to. But she was so sweet and so kind and was a lot of fun. So the egg cart roll. Okay.
Egg roll cart.
Egg cart roll. Egg roll cart. Yes. For me, I think the one thing that immediately comes to mind as my number one is I wish that we had gone to the Garden Grill. Now, even though you said that the service wasn't great, we always have a good meal there. I always enjoy the dessert when it comes out. And if not the Garden Grill, I'll substitute it for the Liberty Tree Tavern. Mm. I think those are the two places that I wish we had gone on this trip, but we didn't, obviously. I don't know what I would have replaced it with, because Be Our Guest and Teppanito are definitely my two favorites. So, all right, your number two. I think we'll do three.
I wish we would have been able to go to either breakfast or dinner at the Riviera.
Okay. I can agree with that. The view is pretty phenomenal. The food has looked really good, and I'm cool with that. My second one is, let's see. I know what my third one's going to be, because it's going to be a little off the cusp. My second one for this trip is I wish that I had tried a Dole Whip. I think every time that we go, and we found that little terrace now behind
Aladdin's
carpets. We really didn't know that was there. Like, I know about the one stop when you're going
Sun Tree Terrace,
but there was this whole other area behind Aladdin's magic carpets that we've probably been by it and probably seen it, but for some reason it really stuck out during this trip. It's almost like we went into a whole different pathway. Mm-hmm. So that's my number two. What's your number three?
My number three. I'm trying to think.
I think I'm going to surprise you with my third one.
I'm just trying to think of what we didn't do.
You want me to give you mine? And then you...
Yeah.
All right. My third one, I wish we had gone on this trip to Universal. And I know we're a Disney podcast. I know that we specifically talk about Disney. But I was able to hang out with Mark and Brian. We talked about The Office. And one of the things that I mentioned on that show, and it was maybe a little bit of a hot take or a controversial for someone like me to say, out of all of the themed areas in Orlando, the Orlando area, the Harry Potter area of Universal is probably one of my absolute favorites out of all of them. And that's pretty bold of me to say as someone who absolutely loves Disney, but the themed area of Harry Potter was done so well. It's so incredibly detailed that I look forward to when we can go back to Universal.
I might have to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And just because Candy and Vinny actually spent most of their time at Universal.
Yeah.
And they were able to experience the new
aspects of it.
And John and Kathy go to Universal.
Yeah.
All the time. Because they're not able to go to Disney yet.
Yep.
I
think that that's my third. It's a little bit of a controversial take, but I look forward to when we can go back. I mean, we did just recently talk about going down there for a few days to take in Universal again. We haven't been there in a while, and I've done everything there. You forced me to do everything there the first time that we went, as like we've talked about. But I would be interested in trying the Velocicoaster that just opened up. I've heard really good things about it. And I think the other thing that sort of excites me about Universal is I think that I could get you to go to the water park there. Having all three parks sort of in the same vicinity, I think would open you up to being a little more interested in going to the pool, or the water park aspect of it, which is something that I would really enjoy as well. And maybe even as like a runner up, I would like to on a Disney trip get over to whether it's Typhoon Lagoon or the other water park over there,
Blizzard Beach.
I do think that would be something that would be fun to sort of do on a trip with you. So,
okay.
All right, that's it. That was fun.
Yeah.
Wolfpack, as always, I do hope that everyone is doing well. Obviously, coming out of the pandemic, we've got some new things to sort of tackle. I would encourage all of you to do your due diligence, get your shot, and also just simply continue to wash your hands and all of those good, fun things. But as always, we're going to be here. If you need some more tips, tricks, we're going to do our best to give those to you in our way, in our fashion. I keep saying our, like you're going to be on the show every week. I don't know that you're ready for that. Is that?
No.
Correct. So what I will say is that I do believe that the show is going to take a little bit of a turn. We're going to maybe not put out content as frequently. I did just recently receive I'll call it a promotion for lack of really a better term. I'm going to a bit of a bigger store and taking on some new responsibilities. So overall, just very excited about that. But it's going to require that I take more time to be at the forefront of work rather than podcasting. And I sort of knew when I started this podcast that at some point it may have to take a back seat to my career and the work that I do. So I do apologize, but I do think that this podcast will be a little bit more sporadic than anything else. And I support, I'm thankful to all of the support that I've received in doing this podcast and do hope to continue to provide you with some of the best content that I can. And we'll see. I've got a couple ideas for a couple different shows, and we actually have a request of a past guest to be on the show. Should I just talk about that? So no, we're getting the no. So we've got a few things to sort of work out there and see where the show goes next, but I do definitely appreciate everyone tuning in every week or how often as you can to this podcast. It's certainly a lot of fun. I really do enjoy it. And I'm going to just say this, as always, be kind, wash your hands, and Wolfpack, we will see you real soon.